And looking forward to this. John Consalvi is joining us, the CEO of Sped Exchange. Did I get that, Sped Exchange? Is that the correct pronunciation, John?
Oh, yes, you did, Tom. That's perfect.
Good. You know, John has an interesting business, which is Sped Exchange, as we mentioned. You know, we've talked a lot about online education. You know, some kids are, for the most part, going back to school, you know, say 4 out of 5 days, something along that line. But, you know, this online education over the last year has taught us a lot. And one in particular, I think, area that may have been ignored by some people is the struggle for online education was clear with some of our younger people, how they were their test scores were reflecting that. But for those where education is already a struggle, it was piling on, wasn't it, John?
For sure. Special education students in need of speech, language, pathology, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and just work, you know, programs with special education teachers really suffered because they're the most difficult populations. And remote learning, although it was a stopgap, it definitely wasn't the same as people being in the students being in the classrooms.
Yeah. Now, part of it is equipment and getting it to work and all that stuff, all right? So let's put that to one side. Because when you think about, and you just ran down a litany of some of the special services, speech therapy and the like. Because when you look at this, sure, you've got to have a resource, a laptop, but when it comes to this line of education, your resource is people, it's teachers.
Exactly. Yeah, and, you know, there's a shortage. The Illinois Association of Regional Superintendents just put out a study. It's just hot off the presses, just came out recently, where they're saying that 77% of the school districts in Illinois have faced a teacher shortage problem. I would say in southern Illinois, near where you are, and other places, it's probably even worse. They're just not finding the staff they need. In special education, it's especially difficult. People don't have the credentials. They don't have the licensing. They don't have the training. They're hard to find those types of people. When that happens, then you have other problems. Like you and I discussed earlier, there might be somebody that's misdiagnosed. There might be somebody that's not put in the proper program. There might be some labels put on students that maybe aren't necessarily relevant for what their needs are. So you really do need staff with training, and you do need to find them and put them in the schools that, you know, really are underserved.
You know, what I found interesting, John, is watching the story of autism grow in the state of Illinois over the years, and watching these incredibly high diagnosis numbers. And then you see resources built up, and then you see them kind of washed away again. And I think we were in that process, especially in southern Illinois, in regard to autism before the pandemic. We'd seen some resources built up, and then there were budget cuts. State of Illinois and being broke is not a strange story to anyone. But there was a kind of a double whammy there, I think, for some of these programs that were really just starting to gain momentum.
Yeah, you know, Tom, that's the sad thing. I mean, you can't just, you know, snap your fingers and create a competent, comprehensive special education program. These things take a while to build. There's relationships with families. There's relationships with students. There's relying on good teachers that you have that know your school, that know the unique needs of your district. So it's true. I mean, when you lose a staff member, somebody retires, and a lot of teachers in Illinois are retiring, or if you have a crisis like we did with COVID, with schools shutting down, ultimately, you got to rebuild it. I'm an optimist. You know, if you're in education or special education and you believe, you really have to try to believe that things are going to get better, and you have to make a plan to do it. And it can happen. We can get back to where we were. We can get back even better than where we were. But not realizing how bad it really is and getting the baseline, it's definitely not helpful.
All right, let's take a look at that, because I heard here is something that I've been thinking quite a bit. There are different programs you need for different issues. And you used the one speech therapy a couple of moments ago. See, and my gut kind of tells me, look, this is probably something where online learning would be better. Maybe even taking one teacher and being able to use that, spread that resource across with more kids better. But there are other issues like physical therapy and proper diagnosis that you really need to be in the room. You need to see the body language. I mean, is there a great divide between what is good and what isn't good when it comes to teaching online for special needs?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, there are, you know, it's individualized. All special education programs are individualized. So remote learning, online speech-language pathology with the student might work swimmingly well with certain students. It might fail miserably with other ones. So, I mean, as we kind of have to gear it, see how things are going. A lot of people do, you know, what you call the diagnosis is you're diagnosing as you're doing therapy and as you're working with the student, you're finding out what their strengths and weaknesses are, and you're addressing those strengths and weaknesses. So we don't want to rush to say, hey, this program's going to work with all these kids. We like to have an arsenal and tools that we need, and remote learning is definitely a tool that we need. You have a student in rural area of the state, and how do they get that student with a speech pathologist that specializes in fluency or stuttering? Maybe it doesn't happen. Well, remotely, that person might be in, you know, Indiana or Purdue University, or they might be the university, you know, trained programs in different states that have those specializations. They could do a remote session with that student. That's phenomenal. That's excellent for them. And it does give, you know, the choice to the student sometime. But it's takes a lot of coordination, takes a lot of, you know, relationships with organizations that do that type of learning. But you hit it on the head. I mean, different kids need different types of programs, and, you know, getting all the kids back in school and getting things back to the way they were, you know, having students interact, socializing, language is about communication. So it is hard to be in a Zoom meeting and try to work on turn taking or try to work on, you know, eye contact if a child has issues with
right or settings or just set, or just sitting still in the chair and you're not there to be able to keep in front of the monitor. I mean, it can be really something as remedial as that. I was wondering, John, what compelled you to start a company like SpedX to SpeedX to insert yourself into this mix? What inspired you?
Well, I am a speech language pathologist. So I worked a long time hiring clinicians and special educators and placing them in school districts as a staffing company. But what really kind of always wondered is, why don't the districts hire their employees directly? Why don't they get those people hired directly? They'll save money. They'll save funds on outsourcing. They'll have more ability to, you know, control the quality of the service and manage long-term relationships with those teachers and special educators. So I really thought schools were at a disadvantage. They really had struggles hiring. So my goal was to create a community and a job board that allows districts to be more efficient at hiring the right people, getting the word out. It's very hard for a district to post a job and just do a search for a special education teacher if they don't have $500 or $600 a month. So what we're actually doing is we're giving away job postings to school districts that have 10,000 students or less in the state of Illinois. So they can post jobs, they can get some traction. Maybe there's some students that have never even known of the district, or they're unaware that the posting or the position was even open, and they might want to apply for those jobs.
Well, I think my takeaway, John, is you're talking about schools 10,000 or less. That's basically every single school south of 64, the areas that we're concerned with here.
Yeah, and we don't have a problem with that. I mean, I went to the University of Illinois. I love, you know, it's a rural districts and districts with struggles with income have always struggled to get the right people. Unfortunately, obviously the pay is pretty low. But also there are places that you can live that it costs a lot less than living in different areas. So, I mean, it's a quality of life thing. You know, I believe that people need to be aware of those positions. And, you know, when you look at the pandemic, a lot of people moved out of major cities. A lot of people are thinking maybe it would be nicer to live in a different area. I kind of want to be a champion of getting people to those districts that don't have the services, and they have the students.
Well, I think we're going to be seeing that process on a whole new level here in Illinois with the new school reform bill as well. You know, it's been my experience in education feast or famine in the state of Illinois. I can remember just a few short years ago where a number of graduates from SIU School of Education came to me going, how do I get a job? It's like, how do you get in the front door? And then, you know, like 3 years later, there's one, we can't find teachers. This pendulum has such wild swings. But what about when it comes to the specialized teachers that you're talking about? Do you see that feast or famine scenario happen?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that the, you know, there are less of them, and they need to be courted. They need to be engaged. I mean, you can't districts have to be proactive. They can't just say, oh, you know, we don't have any candidates. Why doesn't anybody want to come to our district? Sometimes the jobs are invisible. They're shadow jobs. Like, they've never been posted anywhere. There's nobody, you know, if you Google an area, you might not even see any job openings, but there might be job openings. So what do you have to do? You have to call the principal or the superintendent. I mean, we need a way to get those postings and those positions and those vacancies open, and then you need to market them. These students, they have choices. Why would a student come to a district if they're not courted or engaged or sourced in a kind of a more of a professional way, or a little bit more like, you know, companies do.
Well, like Indeed and all these online big jobs, right? But here's the thing. I'm listening to you, John, and what I'm envisioning is if you do that, you've got this better contact with the world for employment in this special category. There has to be a mouth to that funnel, too, and that is the desire to know that if you choose this as a career, it can be very rewarding. It might be something very fulfilling. Well, at the same time, I have worked personally with a number of educators in this area who talk about the devastating wave of fatigue that goes through some teachers after about 3 or 4 years. I talked to one who's been a very good friend of mine. He's been doing 18 years, right? And I asked him about job burnout. He says, not me. He says, but my staff has turned over 4 times.
Yeah. Well, if you know, it's interesting you say that. If there's understaffing in a district, if you don't have enough people to take help spread the work, then you'll have morale problems and you'll have teacher turnover.
Good note.
So, you know, the shortage actually, it's a cycle. It's a shortage makes the people who are there have to work more and have more challenges, and they feel like they're alone or they feel like they're not supported, and then they, you know, the people come and go.
And they burn
so,
out.
So, you know, yeah, stability and having the right staff. If you have staff and you can get, you know, a shared responsibility of some of the cases, I think then you'll see morale go up and then people will stick around in a district. But, you know, it is challenging. It's challenging for anybody. And, you know, we think that we're doing a good job helping districts position themselves, communicate to potential candidates, and think on a little bit of a higher level. You know, how can we be attractive to candidates? How can we, you know, put our program in the best light so that people actually will talk to us and about positions? How can we get, you know, our jobs in front of students? There are a lot of great schools with special ed programs, like Illinois State University. They have programs in special education, PhDs. There's other places that you know, districts can kind of find their future staff.
Well, on that note, John, one of our educators, higher educators, have just sent me a note who's listening to the program this morning and talking about the very thing that you're talking about right now, saying there's a statewide job board where every school district posts their jobs. The universities tell the prospective teachers. It's called the Illinois Education Job Bank.
Yes. Yeah. And some, you know, there are job boards that are great for that. Our job board does two things. We also use social media to get jobs in front of people. So, and we have support of our jobs when they're posted. They go out nationwide, and there's some Google Analytics going on, and there's some search engine optimization that helps boost the posting and helps get it in front of people when they're doing search. So, you know, you can post jobs, but you also have to have another part where you're kind of boosting the job or you're getting the job to the right people.
Cheerleading it.
In some ways, using social media and search engine optimization, using some technological advances. And those are the types of things we do. But yeah, I think, you know, the statewide job boards are great. Ours is definitely different. It's created differently, has different functionality. It's really a community also. So we do a lot of different things. We do Instagram giveaways, and we engage students when they're, you know, sophomores, juniors, seniors, and then when they're getting ready to leave. So we build a pipeline. You know, that's kind of how you have to look at staffing in school districts. You have to start thinking about recruiting somebody when they're a sophomore in college, so right, that they know your district. And then when they're getting ready to get out, that, you know, they consider your district for a position.
Soft landing right out of graduation.
Yeah, yeah. People, you know, they need to be, like I always use the word courted. I mean, like when people just get ready to get out and they start posting the resumes, they're going to get snapped up very quickly by districts that move very quickly, or they might get pulled into a different state or an area that is, you know, has been communicating with them and trying to entice them.
Right.
So, you know, it's challenging. I mean, a lot of districts don't have the funds to have a really sophisticated, you know, recruiting efforts, but, you know, we like to try to help them do that.
I got to tell you, and it's not just special education. Every once in a while when a job comes open and it's my job to find a replacement, I'm just like, oh, Lord, save me. You know, I'm sitting in the corner, oh, God. You know, sure, finding the right person, will they be a right fix for the other people? There are so many things that go into it. And so, hey, John, before I let you, we're speaking with John Casalva. He is with Sped Exchange. Before I let you go, you are offering your job, right? You talked about the expense that some schools pay. You are offering free service now, $10,000 or less. Could you quickly share that with any educators that might be listening to this morning before I let you go?
Sure. They just need to go on our website, spedexchange.com, and sign up. Or they can email me directly, john@spedexchange.com. And that's spedexchange.com. And I can talk them through the process. It's quite simple. We love working with districts that need help. And there is no cost to post a job, and we'll be posting them and helping. And that's something we did just because of COVID. That's the information, and I'm more than happy to help any way I can.
John Casalva. John, thanks for your time today.
Thank you very much, Tom.